Loan application. The Fannie Mae 1003 application, the Uniform Residential Loan Application, URLA, also known as Form 1003 or simply 1003, is the official application form for all residential loans and is the central document of the residential loan application process. The URLA form gathers all the crucial information about the prospective borrower that the lender will need to evaluate the applicant's creditworthiness. The Federal National Mortgage Association, Fannie Mae, and the Federal Home Loan Mortgage Corporation, Freddie Mac, released a redesign of the URLA, effective January 2021. Redesigned URLA objectives. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac had three objectives for redesigning the URLA project. Update the URLA to collect information that is relevant and useful to the industry and provides lenders the information needed to make an underwriting decision. Redesign the format and layout of the URLA to make it more consumer-friendly, enhance the collection, and improve usability. And define a Mortgage Industry Standards Maintenance Organization, MISMO, compliant dataset that supports the URLA. MISMO's purpose is to develop, promote, and maintain voluntary electronic commerce standards for the mortgage industry, intended to promote data consistency, reduce processing costs, and increase transparency through a common data dictionary and data reference model. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac believe the changes make it easier for consumers to understand. Working together, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac developed a common corresponding dataset called the Uniform Loan Application, dataset ULAD, to enable consistency of data delivery. This provides a mapping for each field on the redesigned URLA to AMISMO data structure. To support the redesigned URLA, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac have also launched a new version of Desktop Underwriter, DU, and Loan Product Advisor, LP lenders who wish to use the redesigned URLA must support ULAD in order to submit data to DU and LP. Uniform Residential Loan Application. The redesigned URLA is considerably different from its predecessor. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac collaborated with lenders, trade groups, mortgage insurers, housing and consumer advocates, technology solution providers, and other federal agencies to ensure that the revised loan application is easier to read, more technology-enabled, and more consumer-friendly. The redesigned URLA divides the application into five different forms. The Borrower Information Document. This form contains information about the borrower, the loan, and the property. The Additional Borrower Document. This form contains information about an additional borrower. Most of the form is identical to the borrower information document. The unmarried addendum. The lender will complete this optional form for each borrower with an unmarried status when a borrower selected unmarried for marital status on the URLA or URLA additional borrower forms under Section 1A. Personal information. The information must be collected to determine how state property laws directly or indirectly affecting creditworthiness apply, including ensuring clear title. The Lender Loan Information Document. The lender completes this form. The continuation sheet. The borrower or additional borrower will complete this sheet if he or she needs more space to complete the URLA. We will only discuss the Borrower Information Document, Section 1. Borrower Information. The borrower must provide personal, employment, and sources of income information, including the primary borrower's full name, the name that was used on the contract, and any alternate names the borrower used, the borrower's social security number, home phone/cell phone, email, date of birth, and citizenship status, the marital status of the borrower. Federal regulations state that borrowers are only permitted to be asked, "Are you married, unmarried, or separated?" If the borrower states he or she is unmarried, the lender cannot ask if he or she is single, widowed, or divorced, because this is a violation of the Equal Credit Opportunity Act. Borrower's present address and whether the borrower is a renter or owner. If the borrower has been living at his or her present address for less than 2 years, former address information will be required. The borrower will provide the name and address of his or her current employer and the number of years employed. The lender will also want to know how long the borrower has been employed in this line of work. If the borrower has been at his or her current job for less than 2 years, the former employment information should be included. When establishing income, the borrower will need to provide proof of income in the form of W-2s and/or tax returns. Requirements are based upon the program, and the lender will inform the borrower of the requirements. Income can come from many sources, including salary, wages, overtime, bonus, commissions, pension, net rental income, alimony, child support, inheritance or trust, dividend/interest income, company car allowance, military income, part-time job, VA benefits. When evaluating overtime and part-time employment, the 2-to-3 rule is applied. The 2-to-3 rule means if the borrower has been on the job for 2 years, it is reasonable to assume that the employment will last another 3 years. Income should be reasonable. Is the income reasonable for the borrower's occupation? Recurring. Is the income going to continue into the future? Received in cash. Is it reported to the IRS? Regular. Is it received on a regular schedule? Section 2. Financial information, assets and liabilities. The borrower will enter information about each asset account. This information includes the current value of the accounts, including checking, certificate of deposit, stock options, bridge loan proceeds, trust account, savings, mutual fund, bonds, individual development, cash value of life insurance, money market, stocks, retirement account, 401k. The lender will verify that the borrower has sufficient funds to pay the down payment and closing costs, with some reserves left over to deal with emergencies. On all checking and savings accounts, the borrower should be ready to provide the name of the bank and account numbers for each account. Assets in the form of stocks and bonds should be listed with the stock name and number of shares and approximate value. The current cash value and the face value of life insurance policies should be listed for each policy. The borrower should also list any funds he or she has in retirement accounts. All liabilities, including the name of the creditor, account number, and monthly payment, must be listed. These liabilities include credit cards, other debts, and leases, not real estate, that the borrower owes. Any monthly installment debts with fewer than 10 months of payment left will generally not be counted against the borrower, but will still be listed on the 1003. However, if the borrower has a large monthly payment that would impact his or her ability to pay, it will be considered for qualifying purposes, even if it has less than 10 months remaining. Other liabilities and expenses include alimony, child support, separate maintenance, and job-related expenses. Section 3. Financial information, real estate. If the borrower currently owns any real estate, he or she should list it in this section. If the borrower is refinancing, he or she will list the property he or she is refinancing first. The borrower will enter the following information about the real estate: an estimate of the current property value, property status, sold, pending sale, retained, intended occupancy, investment, primary residence, second home, other, monthly insurance, taxes, association dues, etc. Monthly rental income. If the borrower owns any investment property, he/she will enter the monthly rental income it earns. 2-to-4 unit primary residence or investment property. Gross monthly rental income. Net monthly rental income. The borrower will enter information about mortgage loans on the property, including the creditor name, account number, monthly mortgage payment, unpaid balance, type of loan, FHA, VA, conventional, USDA, etc. Section 4. Loan and property information. In this section, the borrower enters information about the loan he and she is applying for and the property desired. The borrower will enter the loan amount and its purpose. Loan purpose includes purchase, refinance, and other. The borrower will specify other. This section requires information about the property, including the address and property value. The borrower must select the manner in which he or she intends to occupy the property. The intended occupancy is significant. Many loan programs are for owner-occupants. Only loan terms on a borrower's primary residence are more favorable than those for second homes and investment property. More than a few borrowers have found that misrepresenting the occupancy in a loan application constitutes mortgage fraud. The borrower will include all gifts and grants he or she has or will receive for the loan. Sources for the gifts and grants include, but are not limited to, relative, unmarried partner, federal agency, employer, and religious nonprofit. Section 5. Declarations. The borrower must answer questions regarding the property and the money for the loan, as well as questions regarding his or her finances. The borrower will either provide a yes or no response, or, for specific questions, click on a drop-down menu for more options. The borrower must respond as to whether he, she, has owned a property that was foreclosed upon in the past 7 years, and whether he, she, has declared bankruptcy in the past 7 years. If the borrower answers yes to bankruptcy, he, she must indicate the types of bankruptcy that apply: Chapter 7, Chapter 11, Chapter 12, Chapter 13. Section 6. Acknowledgements and Agreements. Section 6 informs the borrower of his or her legal obligations. By signing this section, the borrower and additional borrower, if applicable, acknowledge that he or she has read it and agrees with its terms. Section 7. Military Service. The borrower will indicate his or her or his or her deceased spouse's military status. If the borrower has never served in the military, he or she will select no. If the borrower has served in the military or is the surviving spouse of a veteran of the United States Armed Forces, he or she will provide information regarding status. The borrower completes this section for all loan types, not just for a VA loan. Section 8. Demographic Information. The borrower will complete this section regarding ethnicity, race, and sex. The borrower may opt not to provide any of the information. If the application was taken in person, the financial institution would note the borrower's ethnicity, sex, and race utilizing visual observation or surname. The URLA requires the borrower's demographic information in accordance with the new Home Mortgage Disclosure Act requirements issued by CFPB. Section 9. Loan Originator Information. The loan originator will complete Section 9 of the URLA. The loan originator is the individual who originated the loan for the borrower. He or she must include his or her contact information and the organization's contact information. Integrated Mortgage Disclosures. The Real Estate Settlement Procedures Act, RESPA, is a consumer protection statute that was enacted in 1974. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau's Bureau Regulation X, which implements RESPAH, ensures that consumers throughout the nation are provided with helpful information about the cost of the mortgage settlement process and protection from unnecessarily high settlement charges caused by certain abusive practices. The Act requires residential mortgage loan originators to provide borrowers with timely disclosures of the nature and costs of the real estate settlement process, designed to help consumers become more knowledgeable of settlement services costs. RESPA also prohibits abusive practices such as undisclosed referral fees and kickbacks. The Truth in Lending Act, TILLAH, contained in Title I of the Consumer Credit Protection Act, is a federal law enacted on May 29, 1968. The ultimate purpose of TILLAH is to protect consumers in their dealings with lenders and creditors, and to ensure that consumers are aware of the terms and costs of credit. TILLAH requires that consumers must be provided with a written disclosure of the costs associated with a mortgage loan, such as annual percentage rate, APR, finance charges, and annual fees, also known as Regulation Z. TILLAH gives consumers the right to cancel certain credit transactions that involve a lien on the consumer's principal dwelling. The TIL law and RESPA require mortgage disclosures that had, for over 30 years, been administered separately by the Federal Reserve Board, FRB, and the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, HUD. The laws require two different and separate disclosure forms at or shortly before closing on the loan. The information on these disclosure forms is overlapping, and the language is inconsistent. Not surprisingly, consumers often find the forms confusing. It is also not surprising that lenders and settlement agents find the forms burdensome to provide and explain. Final RESPA TIL, La Integrated Disclosures Rule, the Dodd-Frank Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act, Dodd-Frank Act, directed the Bureau to integrate the mortgage loan disclosures under TIL law and RESPA. On November 20, 2013, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau released the 1,888-page Final RESPA TIL La Integrated Disclosures Rule. The final rule mandates the use of two disclosures, the three-page loan estimate that replaced the good faith estimate and the initial truth in lending disclosure, and the five-page closing disclosure that replaced the HUD one and final truth in lending disclosure. These new forms are designed to provide disclosures that will be helpful to consumers in understanding the key features, costs, and risks of the mortgage for which they are applying. A mortgage loan originator must provide, in a clear and concise form, an estimate of the amount of settlement charges the borrower is likely to pay. This loan estimate, LE, must be provided no later than 3 business days after receipt of the written application. Additionally, the LE must be delivered or placed in the mail no later than the 7th business day before consummation of the transaction. If the application is denied before the end of the 3 business day period, the LE is not required. Mortgage fraud. Mortgage fraud is one of the fastest growing crimes in America. Mortgage loan fraud is increasing because it can often be very lucrative and relatively easy to carry out, particularly in geographic areas experiencing rapid appreciation. The potential impact of mortgage fraud on financial institutions and the stock market is clear. If fraudulent practices become systemic within the mortgage industry and mortgage fraud is allowed to become unrestrained, it will ultimately place financial institutions at risk and adversely affect the stock market. Investors may lose faith and require higher returns from mortgage-backed securities. This may result in higher interest rates and fees paid by borrowers, and limit the amount of investment funds available for mortgage loans. The borrower will be required to sign an affidavit at closing, which certifies that the statements made in the loan application and underwriting process are true. The fines and penalties for making a false statement are substantial, including a possible prison term and stiff monetary fines. Mortgage fraud red flags, loan application red flags. Significant or contradictory changes from handwritten to typed application. Employer's address shown as a post office box. Commute is significantly unrealistic. New house too small to accommodate occupants. Borrower is downgrading to smaller or less expensive home. Down payment in some form other than cash. Significant changes as application process proceeds. Lack of accumulation of assets compared to income. Accumulation of assets compared to income appears to be too high. Years of schooling not congruent to profession. Incomplete or inconsistent borrower information. Unsigned or undated application. Same telephone number for borrower and employer. Credit report red flags. No credit history, possible use of alias. Invalid or recently issued social security number. Liabilities on credit report that are not on mortgage application. Significant differences between original and new credit report. Also known as AKA or doing business as DBA, indicated. Employment and income verification, red flags. Employer's address is a post office box, the property address or borrower's current residence. Company and/or employee name is not printed. Pay stub, verification of employment, VOE, or W-2 is handwritten, large employer, but check stubs are not pre-printed. Sequence of payroll check numbers does not correspond with the payroll dates. Social Security number is not consistent with numbers on other loan file documents. Employer's name and address is similar to a party to the transaction: seller, applicant, originator, realtor. Year-to-date, YTD. Earnings do not compute, do not match W-2s or pay stubs, or are in round dollar amounts. Date of hire is weekend or holiday. Deletions, crossouts, or squeezed-in numbers. Fraud Enforcement and Recovery Act, FERA. For many years, mortgage lenders were not regulated or insured by the federal government and were not subject to prosecution under federal fraud laws. The subprime crisis increased the number of federal investigations into mortgage fraud and fostered the enhancement of the government's enforcement powers to create a law applicable to the entire mortgage industry. As a result of this effort, the Fraud Enforcement and Recovery Act, FERIA, was introduced in Congress in February 2009 and signed into law by President Obama in May 2009. FERA strengthened the capacity of federal prosecutors and regulators to hold accountable those who have committed fraud. The amendments expand the Department of Justice's authority to prosecute crimes involving mortgage fraud. Convictions for mortgage fraud can carry a 30-year maximum prison sentence or a maximum $1 million fine, or both. Fixed rate mortgage. The fixed rate mortgage loan has dominated residential lending in the United States for many years. The typical mortgage loan is for a term of 15 or 30 years, with the rate remaining fixed for the entire term of the loan. Most of these loans are fully amortized. In an amortizing loan, the monthly payment includes an amount that is applied first to the interest that is due, with the remainder of the loan payment being applied to the outstanding loan balance, also known as the principal balance. This monthly payment is referred to as P&I, principal and interest. As the loan is repaid, the balance of the loan is reduced over time until it is fully amortized, paid in full.